Namaste. Today, reflections, we shall take up an aspect which is very often mixed with the law of karma, because from some of the questions that were coming subsequent to the law of karma, and that is about universal justice. Very often when we think about the law of karma, we think about universal justice. But there is a little bit of difference between the two. There is a correspondence, there are meeting points and there are points of departure. The law of karma, which has been initiated by the divine himself, that's how the Gita puts it, that the divine himself, the first karma, actually first karma is the karma of creation. The soul, when it leaps into it, it doesn't have any karma. So what really binds it? It is a deliberate conscious act of plunge into creation with a certain purpose. So the law of karma is the mechanism of evolution. That's what the Isha Upanishad says when it says that it is through works that the path of evolution opens before man. The path of progress opens before man. So the law of karma is not a law of justice. It is a law of evolution. Having said that, what about justice? When we look at this world, we wonder sometimes, we see that bad person gets good things and good person suffers, etc. First of all, as I said, we must be very clear what is suffering and what is not suffering. We often think that if somebody is born with a silver spoon or a gold spoon, he is very happy. But he may be extremely limited person. He may have, a person is limited by his consciousness. Whatever be our outer riches or outer things, we are still limited by the state of consciousness in which we are in. You can pick up a dog and make him wear the best of clothes, put him in an air-conditioned Mercedes Benz and let him drive. Even there are people who take a dog all over the world carrying in the basket, but the dog is limited to his dog consciousness. That's all. So we are not having riches which binds us further, makes us more a slave to desires and passions and indulgences of the ego, is actually, if we look at from that higher standpoint, is more of a suffering. So reward and justice, first of all, reward and punishment, we should be aware what really is punishment, what really is reward. Now we come to the aspect of justice. What really is justice? Now we have two very interesting symbols. One is in ancient Greek mythology, this is the goddess of justice, Themis, Themis, whichever way the Greeks pronounced it, but she's the one whose symbol we unfortunately adopt in the Supreme Court, in all the courts in fact. She is blindfolded and she has a scale in one hand, and the scale is balanced. In the other hand is a sword. So she is rendering justice by balancing the different options, and there is a sword so that she can punish. So this is the way the balance of justice works. And in our Indian thought, the corresponding deity is Yama. Yama is the god of justice. He is the Dharma Raja in that sense. So he is again a hard law. Repeatedly in Savitri we see that on one side is Yama's law. And what is this law? It is not simply about that an honest man who is a regular taxpayer will have everything good done for him, and another person who is dishonest will suddenly all the, you know, he will be caught up and he'll be put behind bars. This is a human conception of justice. But when we look at justice from the spiritual point of view, universal justice is the strict logical determinism of nature. That's how the mother puts it. So what does this mean? At each level, there is a strict logical determinism. Let's say that if there is a race between the tortoise and the hare, as has been given in Alice those stories, Aesop's Fables. Now, this story is a bit unreal story that the tortoise will win the race. Tortoise, there's no chance. You know, all these things that the rabbit rested and tortoise went ahead. This is a very rare thing. In a race on land between tortoise and hare is likely to win 99.9% or 99.99%. And it has nothing to do with tortoise being a good guy or a bad guy, or hare being a good guy or a bad guy. It is simply when we are matching a certain skill against another skill, it is that particular, because nature works on oneness. So let us say two persons are appearing in an exam. One person is highly intelligent, brilliant, and the other person is not so good. But this other person who is not so good may be a very good boy, and the other person who is very brilliant and intelligent may be an extremely arrogant fellow. But in the exam, this is the guy who will get through, for a simple reason that as far as this skill which is concerned in terms of examination, he is better equipped. So this is the logical, strict logical determinism. That is how Yama also operates. If somebody is ill and the body is sick, now Yama doesn't see that, well, this guy was a good guy, let him get a lease of life. No, he carries a noose in his hand, he is sitting on a water buffalo, and in his other hand he is carrying the stick, Yamadand. Now what does it mean? The water buffalo means it's a creature which cannot think much. It's almost a brainless creature. And in one hand is the noose. So it tightens around people. And another hand is the dand, which renders justice. Instead of the sword, at least there is a little more, Indian mythology, there is a little more something not so uncomfortable. Now what does it mean? It means at a physical level, if somebody has not taken, usual hygienic precaution, let's say, or not done the things that one should do normally, now he will fall sick. And if he falls sick, if the body is not strong enough, in normal course, he will die. It doesn't matter. He may be a very good person. Whereas another person who may be, a worst kind of criminal, but as far as his body is concerned, he has got a good body from heredity by constitution, and has also taken care of it. Well, he is likely to survive long. We see this in history, so many instances. Now, this is one part of it. Same thing applies with societies at a moral level. Now, what is the reward of an honest man? Reward of an honest man is increase of moral qualities, moral virtues. So, here honesty is not done so that my outer things should be good. Honesty is in itself its own reward. Now, honesty is one virtue. Similarly, when we speak truth. Now, truth speaking is a tapasya. It doesn't mean that if somebody is speaking truth, one will not go to jail. Look at Socrates. He had to pay with his life. So, what kind of justice was it? He had not done anything wrong with the youth, but he was told that he has spoiled the youth by his ideas, and he had to undergo, take poison, hemlock, and die. Until the last moment, even when his disciple Crito wants to make him escape from the jail by bribing, he has bribed already all the jailers. So he says, no, I don't want to do that. I want to take the hemlock. And look at the honesty of Socrates. And when he is asked that, okay, but is there anything I can do for you? He has already taken hemlock and the poison is acting. He says, Crito, I owe a cock to somebody. Please, can you give it on my behalf? Yes, I will do it, master. Now, look at here that he is a good person, and all the people, Greeks of that time who rendered him was very unjust, and yet there was no savior. And Socrates is not an ordinary person, he is a yogi. He always consulted his inner voice before doing things. His writings are so profound. He created Plato and subsequently Aristotle, and many others are his disciples or descendants of disciples, and yet he had to go through it. We see Sharmad, we see many other examples of saints, Guru Tegh Bahadur and many others who were excellent, exemplary examples as human beings, and yet when death came, it doesn't bother whether you are a good person or you are a saintly person. When it comes to the logical determinism of nature, body is body, and if body is burnt, put into fire, it will burn and he'll die. So this is one aspect of it. But moral, if a society is moral, or if a human being is moral, it brings its own reward. And what that reward is a growth of, as Sri Krishna puts it very beautifully in the Gita, when he talks about karma, karmic law, he says, if you act under tamas, what is there? Do you get punished? No, you have more and more delusion. So tamas means without consideration of space, time, and the truth behind things. If you act foolishly, even if you are giving gifts, this gift only increases more delusion. What about rajas? If you do things under rajas, same act, you are giving things, and yet it will create sukha and dukkha. It'll give joy and sorrow. Now again, when the same act is done in a state of sattva, taking into consideration desh, kal, and patra, the right person, the right moment, and the right time, the right space to do it, right circumstance to do it, then it increases happiness and it increases light. Now look at it, it's nothing to do with something external. The Gita speaks about the karmic law like that. What about somebody who does things in a spiritual consciousness? Well, Sri Krishna says, he is born in next life, he is born with whatever he had already achieved, and he rapidly progresses on the path of evolution, favored by me, he is given birth in a family of people who are God-loving. Look at it. He doesn't even say he'll be born in a family who are my bhaktas. He doesn't say that. He says in a family where he'll quickly regain his spiritual consciousness and go on the path of the divine. He doesn't say because he has prayed to me and he has practiced some kind of yoga, he will be therefore rewarded by being born in a rich family. None of that kind. Sri Aurobindo also says that the reward of, let's say, a yogic effort is that it is never wasted, however small it may be, because its seal and stamp has been put, and in the next life we resume it and the path becomes easier. So the logical determinism means that at each plane there is a determinism. A weak body is prone to disease, nothing to do with goodness or badness. A strong will is prone to succeed in many things, regardless of the person being good or bad. Churchill became a very good instrument simply because he had a strong will and an indomitable courage. It didn't matter whether he smoked, whether he drank, whether he had problems in his character. That's not what is important. But as far as one aspect is concerned, well, he proved to be a greater statesman and a greater leader simply because he embodied those qualities. Similarly, when we see even Mahabharata, when Duryodhana and Bhima are fighting, match to match. Now Duryodhana has done something else. He has got some special boon from Gandhari that his body is going to be like a Vajra. And there is only one weak spot where Bhima must hit. Otherwise he can't win. Because this is the logical determinism. Similarly, somebody who is using his mind, who has got an intelligence and using it rightly and wisely, there will be a growth of intelligence. If he doesn't use it wisely and rightly, if he uses it as a cunning man to earn money, he will amass wealth. But what is the problem? He is losing his intelligence, which could be turned towards higher things. And then the mother goes on to say, what is after all the biggest punishment? He says, when you indulge in evil deeds, when deeds which are wicked, you go away from the Lord, because that's our real journey. So when we go away from the Lord, we cut ourselves from the peace and delight of the Lord. We may amass money, we may be born with a golden spoon, we may have everything tick mark right, success in the first, every examination we achieved success, whatever we needed, desire can be at our doorstep, but we have lost something most important, and that is the contact with the divine presence for which we are born. On the other hand, somebody who is doing deeds unselfishly, truly as consecration to the divine, grows in this peace and delight which the other person cannot buy with all his money and everything at his disposal. So this is how justice operates at each level. Now there is something called as intervention of a higher plane into the lower one. Let's say somebody has a weak body, but his strong will, maybe when such a person has a, illness, because he has a strong will, or maybe even a faith in the mind, strong thinking power, that can override the body's determinism. And though he would have died under certain circumstances, he would not, because determinism of other planes are intervening. Now, once we understand it, then we understand what is the highest determinism, and that is compassion and grace. So in this normal mechanisms which is taking place, the determinism of nature through which justice is operating at a very lower level, Dharmaraja and, or Yamaraja, the restrainer, and the other lady out there, Themi, whatever, blindfolded, there is compassion. So what compassion does? It can change completely the whole line. Determinism according to the laws of nature, it's a determinism of nature, logical determinism, person would have died. But there is a compassion, so nothing happens. There is some illness, but it is taken care of. The person goes shielded because there is a compassion that leans. That is how we can explain such radical conversions as Jagai Madhai in the life of Angulimal, or the Saul of Tarsius, You know, Saint Augustine, all these people who were seeming, or Ratnakar turning into Valmiki. Now, if it was a question of just sin and punishment, then they had no chance. But for whatever reason, compassion came into their life and changed them. And beyond compassion, or there is another side of dimension of compassion. Compassion is something which is individual, but there is grace. Grace is universally present in this earth, in this creation. Anybody can invoke it. You see, that's why in the Gita it said that there are four kinds of prayers or bhaktas. One of them is arth. When in distress, even an elephant who calls the Lord comes. Basically, it means that regardless of the determinations of nature, there is grace, and the grace can change everything. And that is how we have to understand the story of Savitri. On one side, there is the logical, strict logical determinism of nature. This was the day when Satyavan must die. This is the law. Death keeps saying, this is the law, I can't help it. It is not that he is a good person, he is a very good person, but for whatever reason, his body is prone to death. It has been so fated, he may be bad heredity or whatever. He has come with an adverse fate, can't help it. Whereas on the other side, there is grace. And when this grace is there, it can change the entire machinery of universal justice, entire machinery of nature. And this grace is the one which is truly behind what we know as the law of karma. Unfortunately, because of our, we too much believe in death and reward, punishment and justice, we ourselves give credence and importance. By giving importance, we have said, no, Yama, I belong to you. I don't belong to grace. Mother says that, my child, if you invoke justice, who can stand? Who can say that he has never done a mistake? We may think that our enemy must be punished, but are we any better? For somebody else, we may be the enemy, we may be wrongdoer. So many things happen in life, so many mistakes, so many errors. So she says, always invoke grace and not justice, because justice is a determinism of nature. But truly the sense of karma, and that's where the Gita ends very beautifully. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masucha. So there is justice which operates. Sometimes there is a recoil from nature when people are living in ordinary, I mean they have no access or believe in grace, they don't know about compassion, then there is a justice, but it doesn't operate like a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. If something goes in excess, there is a recoil and rebound from nature. And this is what sets the record right. That's why the balance. It's a blind recoil. And there your strength may not count. That example we see in the story of Jarasandh, who is killed 99 persons, young prince, because he believes that 100 young prince, if he would offer as sacrifice, he would become the conqueror of the world. But every time his son makes one of them escape, so he's looking for that 100th person. Now nothing happened to Jarasandh. He remained strong and healthy. But Shri Krishna, there the justice intervenes. And we see that there is a recoil, and Jarasandh meets his match in the form of Bhima. Again we see that when Abhimanyu is killed, justice intervenes. Now that's an extreme. When Draupadi is humiliated and when Abhimanyu is killed, in such a way, justice intervenes and changes the whole, you know, after that everybody starts falling like a house of cards. But in general, in life, in the law of karma, in average human life, it is not justice which intervenes. Otherwise, human beings can't stand. One day in creation, and very soon creation will go down. Creation is managing to evolve, and we are all managing to evolve in spite of everything, is because, not because of justice, but because of grace. So while justice is there, it operates in a certain way. It has nothing to do with our moral ideas of it. Moral goodness, its reward is increase in moral qualities, nothing to do with external. At the same time, a crook can amass a lot of money if he uses his mind, if he has the intelligence. That's why Shri Krishna says in the Gita that in the clever, I am the cunning, I am the intelligence of the cunning. Even there, he's the one. So, we see in Mahabharata, well, Shakuni wins the game, but Shakuni loses later on in a different way. But when it comes to the game of dice, Pandavas are good guys and Shakuni is clearly cheating, but he wins the game. Because that is how justice operates. Blind. It's a universe, logical determinism. Very strict, very hard, very harsh law. And it's not that where we must put our faith into. Our faith must be always in grace, which is beyond justice, beyond karma, beyond compassion. And it's like a balm over all things. It is equally available to all, not only human beings, but even to animals and the subhuman kind. All that is required is a call from the heart, a sincere aspiration and a prayer, and grace intervenes and changes the entire course of things. Thank you. Namaste.